session, but we won't let you put them out in the public glare. Which seemed to me a kind of anticlimax. He was really winging there, and he had an almost unassailable program at that point, so I questioned him about that. And he sort of came back and said, well, I think that's how the president feels about this. And I said, well, that's an executive session.
We didn't discuss that today. He feels it so strongly.
Yeah.
Frankly, and I share it. I know these committees.
Husband.
On the other hand, we may not have an option.
I just talked to Brock, who was calling Baker's request, so Baker only saw Bush and Brock. Bush was scrambled. Brock said, I think it's better, since you've got a lot of bright, attractive people down there, I think it's better for you to have others. I said, Bill, do you know of a single witness that has ever won before Senate committee? And he laughed. And he said, well, if you gave me a week, I might be able to think of it. And I said, yeah, that's our problem. And he said, yeah, I see that. He said, at the same time, there's great virtue in appearing to be open-handed. And I said, the television was a part of that. I guess that's really where I am. He said, if there's anything that I can do to help the president, anything at all, tell him I want to do it.
Brock,
yeah.
I wish you were on the committee.
He said, yeah, that's what I said to him. He said, well, maybe I can be of some help to you. No, I'm not. He said, if there's any little thing that I can do.
Just I think we have it among fellows like Brock and Bush, too, a hell of a lot of the sympathy for them. They know goddamn well that I am terribly embarrassed for this, and that it's wrong, and that we're getting that wrong at the stick. And I think probably some of them probably feel home it's getting the bad.
Yeah. I got a great letter, and so did Bob, from a guy named Bone, who's a congressman.
Charlie Hall,
yeah. The congressman.
Yeah. Old-time politician.
Said, you two guys are just taking a lot of garbage down there. I just want you to know that you're doing a great job. So,
did Marvin Ash ever get anything out?
I don't know. I told me he was going to do it. I don't know whether he did or not. I haven't seen it.
Well, come around to what?
Well, let me give you another random fact.
Good.
In fact, ever we were wondering what Sally, what's her name, was testified about memos to the White House. Yeah. In point of fact, there were memos to the White House.
Prepared by, does she know it?
I don't know. They came from somewhere over there. They came to Spahn,
right?
They were not in the form of dialogue or tax, but they were in the form of FBI things that say usually reliable sources or source beyond impeachment, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And they were very unspectacular.
Yeah.
So that Spahn, there were three of them. Spahn 75.
Right.
And
they don't have them now, though.
On one occasion, he sent Bob one of them with a cover memo which referred to this among many other items, and it was probably 8 or 10 tabs, and said, politically sophisticated sources in the summer. Politically sophisticated sources report so and so and so and so, see tab L or H. Now, that's very tough, as in my way of thinking. I think that's very, very hard to take.
You mean Bob told you this?
No, it was Brown did.
Right. Has he testified to that?
No. We had another problem arising out of his grand jury testimony yesterday that I was talking to him about.
What is that?
It's ludicrous. It's just ludicrous.
Did he clear it up or not?
Yeah. In November, right after the election, he got a call from Silver, who said, you have $350,000 on the committee. He said, no. He said, yes. Silver said, Silver asked, did you get it? He said, yes. He said, do you have it? He said, yes. Conversation lasted about a minute and a half. That was all. He goes before the grand jury yesterday, and they say to him, did you get $350,000? And yes. What did you do with it? I put it in a safe place.
did. It took me nearly an hour. How much did you return to him?
$350,000.
No, that's wrong. That's wrong. Because it was invasive. You remember to pay for advertising.
Oh, I see.
Circumstance of that was Dick Howard called and said we need some advertising money for Baruti. And the Baruti and the advertising business. And so, Strong had his custodian deliver $22,000 to Baruti. Now, the rub there, of course, is that LaRue received this money, did not give a receipt for it. He's going to be called on to account for $350,000. He can't account for $350,000 even if he tells the truth, which for LaRue, but LaRue has every incentive to testify that he only got $328,000 because he had to pay income tax on the balance and he couldn't account for it. So, Strong came in and said, well, I do.
If you go back,
I said, you call Silver this minute. He said, well, what do I tell him? And I said, tell him the truth, that you talked to Bob and reported to Bob that you mentioned his name twice, once in connection with $350,000, once in connection with Segretti. And that Bob responded, wait a minute, Gordon, you told me previously that it wasn't $350,000, it was $328,000.
That's right.
And that it dawned on me that I had given the grand jury misinformation, that I had forgotten to mention that elimination, and that I want to straighten out my testimony. Because I said, if you don't do it today,
right,
it'll just get worse every day.
Right.
So he's about doing that. But that took 2 hours out of my life while we unsnarled that baby.
It's all right, though. Just tell the truth.
It's bad enough without having these kinds of inadvertencies. So anyway, then I said, Gordon, while you're here, just answer the question for me, would you? To your knowledge, did they prepare White House copies? He said, yes. I said, where'd they go? He said, well, I got a set. How many were there? So then I said,
three times.
And that would have been between May and June, obviously, the time that the tab was. I said, did Colson ever get copies?
I don't know.
Did you ever get Colson copies? No, Colson got copies of the indirect media. But I had a real question.
I know. Good to have that answer.
So he said he didn't make copies for Colson. If they came directly to him. So if the testimony is that only one copy came to the White House, we know they came to Strong. And then Colson's all right. So there's that. But in looking down the line, those 4 months that we've been talking about, it may not be that long.
Well, now let's, on the Haldeman, this business of the use of the term John's politically sophisticated stuff, we've got,
I can put a good face on this.
I was just going to say that he's got all sorts of information, you never anything in there. But he's got to admit it.
I can put a good face on this. But we've got to think about the bad face that's going to be put on Stiles Bridges at this point.
If they have the copy. If they have a copy of the thing that's like Strong.
I don't believe they do. But Strong no longer has a copy.
I know. Strong doesn't have any of this stuff, which is just good, too.
Yeah.
And the only thing they have, I guess, is this deal. There's Kane. And that's only they should retain. That was action. It's like the stuff we have filed.
But the headline is Haldeman received bug summary.
Yeah, I know, but who's going to say that?
Sally Smith, Sally Harninger, Minnie Harninger, or whatever.
Oh, and she knows.
She presumably knows.
She typed it.
So she knew where it was to go. Maybe not. Maybe it goes to Magruder. Both copies. I don't know. Maybe Magruder sent one. I just don't know what the internal machinations there were.
Well, you remember I told you to check on one point. Somebody had told me that Liddy had said that he made two copies, one for Magruder and one for the White House.
I still haven't found out who told you that. Bob?
from Ziegler's standpoint. And he's looking for things for the president to step out and say or disclose.
Right.
There is a thing to disclose, which, if disclosed in the right context, would not be terribly damaging.
The president, but there again, let me kindly suggest, I think, quite
I understand. I, when I say the president,
I'm trying to think, too, that I don't know whether it's wise, I guess it is wise, it's wise to do it or not.
No, I think either Ziegler or Leonard Garment could pull this off. Garment's going to become the White House personified in these hearings. Anyway, the
journalists... You point out that why haven't we disclosed it earlier?
Because we didn't know it earlier. Because Dean didn't disclose it earlier.
Dean?
So this is the Ziegler scenario. This is the president.
But Dean did not know that the two copies came from. Strong didn't know it. He was
Strong. Strong knew it.
Strong told Dean?
Strong ever told Dean.
Well, that's
he did. Dean never told us.
But that's the point, that we've never found out.
That's the point that you say.
I think we did not say that Dean didn't tell us. I would just say that we have...
See, the Ziegler's premise is...
Strong says that he has no information. I don't know how he answers it. But how do you say it? How does Strong... Go ahead.
Well, Ziegler's premise is that the Dean report was inadequate and that you were lawyer.
The report, John, was simply a report of a conclusion. I said, you conducted the investigation, yes. Is anybody in the White House involved? No. I said, you're satisfied yourself based on your check with the FBI. You're sitting on all the things, you're questioning the White House people. I am. That's the Dean report.
Yeah.
A Dean could have missed something and we made a perfectly conscientious report. See what I mean?
Yeah. But anyway, there's a body of fact which may be usable. It's certainly going to be damaging in the wrong hands. It may be profitable, in a sense.
You would have somebody go out and say that the White House did receive copies of the report.
So,
unbeknownst to them.
That's my working hypothesis in this setting.
That
it's coupled with a complete Haldeman statement, which includes reference to these things, and says, I never saw him in any sort of setting that would tell me that there was such a thing going on, or I would stop it. So when you do it in the setting of Dean, as Ziegler spit this out, Dean coming to you and saying, listen, I'm going to resign. I've not served you well. That in that couplet, you don't tie down all the corners. Anyway, that's a pretty far out hypothesis, but it's sort of a logical extension of what Ron's been spending.
Yeah. Out.
I'm due to talk with him some more, and then at
Ziegler,
Dean, at Ziegler. Let me say this, the deep signs, it's still arguable, and we would assert it the same way we would assert it for Colson if he wanted to, if he were asking for a conversation with you. But there's no question that it's much tougher. It's tougher to keep him off the stand when he's not present with that flow, which would be the attitude of the committee. In other words, executive privilege keeps him away entirely when he's working. It only keeps the bad questions away when he's not working. And so that's a strong argument for keeping him on the job. But Ron is doing what we've all been trying to do, and that is figure out where the outer boundaries of this thing are, and run around there and try to get out ahead of them, and build a firewall. And it appeals to him that that's one way to go about this, is to keep in the lines. Basis for being a good boy. condoning or what, it's had coverage like this. The president's osteopath and physician, he also treated Henry Kissinger and Rosemary Woods. Did it mention Rockefeller or the Chief Justice or Mitchell?
you're not convinced that they ought, anybody ought to sit with these witnesses at the moment, are you?
Oh, yes. Yeah, if we send witnesses, I think Barron's got to be there. Or somebody like
you. Remember, you were saying yesterday that maybe we don't. They forgot that you said you don't want the long arm of the White House around those witnesses.
Well, I raised that as a consideration. I felt strongly that at the beginning that we had to have somebody there. I just think that this guy Irvin is such a sharpie.
And I'm total partisan. I want you to be sure.
Well, absolutely.
I never believed that President Baker and others did all the same work that you know. He is a typical mean Southern politician.
Yeah, I know the rest of us. No
question. Partisan, vicious, and clever.
Very sweet.
Very clever.
That's right. And he'll marry you. What is to his advantage?
Surely.
He's nicing Baker. He's nicing the committee staff. And he's getting along with the boys he has to get along with.
Nice.
But nobody's dummy. He went through that draft of mine last night, about 15 minutes, and he picked out most of the sleeves. Just the first time through.
Coming back to this thing here,
Oh, incidentally, you asked breaking down to say that during the period of the four meetings during which the intelligence operation was planned, we were constantly reporting to home. And the reason that I think you could do that is you could lay a circumstantial web compelling the answer yes to the ultimate questions. He was not the conceiver of the White House. He wasn't the one who was making the demand.
Alderman should contain that in his statement. Shouldn't he say that he heard about such things or had already heard about such things?
He says not.
Well, he says not. Sure, that statement isn't.
He says that during that period of time, he did not know anything about that planning operation. All he was interested in was results, and the only results he was really interested in was the verbatim of what the candidates were saying against each other in the primaries.
Which, of course, was priceless about them, obvious that it should have been done by somebody else, nevertheless. Well, that's perfectly right.
But he says, I didn't know anything about this Liddy Schmidt. I didn't know who Liddy was during that period of time. I didn't know these fellows were talking to Mitchell about
it. You asked him a specific question, whether Dean, the cross-examination, was asked, did he ever report from Alderman that they discussed the security operation and turned it down?
Alderman says no.
Okay, don't ask him.
On the other hand, the way I approach this with you is, I think I can make Dean say yes. Cross-examination, right? It appears so illogical that he weren't, that he wasn't. It would make it appear that he, Dean, was running the campaign.
As far as the White House scale, so Dean actually could answer another way. He said, look, I was the counsel, I was sitting in that capacity. And this came up at the meeting in which other things was discussed.
Yeah.
I did not discuss it at all because it was turned off. I didn't
support it. Look at the way you get that then. Well, Mr. Dean, you're responsible for keeping the president out of legal trouble, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
You sat in a meeting where a man named Liddy proposed $1 million worth of kidnapping and wiretapping and assassination and on and on and on and on. And you didn't jump in a taxi cab and rush back to the White House and burst in on Bob Haldeman and say, do you know what those crazy guys at the committee are doing?
Well, I didn't, because I thought it was so ridiculous. The Attorney General said absolutely not. That I just, we have all sorts of crazy schemes, and not Ted's schemes that are presented that I don't raise.
All right, Ms. Dean, I understand that. And then when was the next time you saw Mr. Hall immediately after that?
Well, I probably saw him next day.
What did you say to him? Well, I can't recall. Well, Mr. Dean, didn't you rush up and grab Mr. Holman by the elbow and say, Bob, I was in the craziest meeting yesterday you ever saw. You know what they have over there? They've got a crazy man who wants to kidnap people and plant bugs.
Quite unlikely, actually, Bob, if you're talking to the truth, they do. It's probably unlikely that they would have known.
Yeah.
I think that's right. You know the way Bob works.
I know.
He works like I do. You don't bring up things.
That's right.
Unless it matters to act on.
Yeah.
You know, we don't come in and gas around about stuff.
But you see the face of him be put on. And you make it so improbable.
Now, come on. Oh, let's come on. Oh, come on. Come on for those things. You say that's the worst case. What's the best case?
Well, the best case is to anticipate each one of these mosaics. Each one of these tiles in the big picture that they're going to try and paint and shoot it down.
statement with him.
Without a statement, I said, you may not have caught it, but I want to get it to you, and I want you to say and want you to know that this is the guy.